We're speaking with former Congressman Bob Inglis, who's now the Executive Director of Energy and Enterprise Initiative. He'll be speaking at Western Michigan University this week. Mr. Inglis, you and your group want to do something about climate change, but you're not a big fan of government efforts like the one that was announced last week to limit carbon emissions by new coal-fired plants. Why is that?
We think that this is really a free enterprise situation. The need is answered by free enterprise more than government. And so what we can do is actually here by a revenue-neutral carbon tax. That means we cut taxes somewhere else and put a tax on carbon pollution. We can actually shrink the size of government by repealing some EPA regulations that would become redundant at that point. So this is actually a government-shrinking, revenue-neutral proposal. It's largely just based on free enterprise principles of putting all the cost in on all the fuels and then having a true cost comparison between the competing fuels.
Some critics might say that taxation is government intervention. How is that different from the EPA, for example, saying you can't put that much carbon out of your plant stack?
There is a role for government here. We think there's a very important role for government, which is to be the honest cop on the beat that says to all fuels, you got to be fully accountable for all your emissions. You got to hold that stuff on your property. Really, that's the biblical accountability, and it's what conservatives of all stripes really believe in. The social issue conservatives, economic issue conservatives, and libertarians all believe in that key concept of accountability. And so what we hope is that that becomes recognized as really the basis of this solution. It's just bringing accountability to energy through the mechanism of a carbon tax. Now, of course, it's very important to pair that tax with a reduction in existing taxes so that we don't grow the government as a result of this.
And you're proposing a drop in the income tax, I believe.
But at the Energy Enterprise Initiative, we're open to a number of possibilities. One is reducing corporate income taxes. Another would be personal income taxes. Yet another would be FICA taxes, payroll taxes, or a dividend approach where we simply return all this money to the taxpayers. Any of those works as far as we're concerned, because the idea is if we're going to price carbon, let's make sure to give consumers a tax cut somewhere else in equal amount. So it's a dollar-for-dollar tax swap. No growth of government here.
The companies that produce fossil fuels, oil, natural gas, coal, are not likely to be wildly enthusiastic about having their taxes go up. So how would you get something like this through Congress?
Well, you're on to something there. That's the challenge, of course, is convincing incumbent fuels to have this competition. Because, you know, if you're the incumbent fuel and you're getting away with belching and burning for free, and you're not accountable, for example, in the case of coal, for the small particulates, the soot you put in the air that end up fouling people's lungs, that send them to the hospitals, that we all pay for either through our shared insurance, if we're on the same insurance policies they are, or through Medicare or Medicaid, those are government programs, or through cost shift to the hospital. Whatever it is, we know that we are paying the full cost of those emissions. Just we're not paying at the meter. We're paying through an opaque healthcare system. And so if you put it on the meter and insist on accountability, then, yeah, the incumbent fuels would look more expensive. And, of course, it's not a matter of adding cost to them. It's just saying, no, you're going to be accountable for those costs. Because unless Milton Friedman was wrong in the title of his book in 1975, there's no such thing as a free lunch, we're paying the full cost of coal-fired electricity, for example. We're just not paying at the meter. But if we're going to pay at the meter, we need a corresponding tax cut elsewhere so that we have the ability to innovate as consumers.
Forgive me for saying so, but you artfully dodged the question, which was how to get it through Congress, especially given the fact that members of your party, the Republican Party, at least some of them, don't even think that human beings are responsible for climate change.
Yeah, it was a huge challenge, of course. And what we see is need to speak and work in districts, as in Michigan, and then prepare support for elected officials so that they can feel comfortable leading. The reality is the elected officials aren't going to lead on this until they sense support from their communities. And so what we do at the Energy Enterprise Initiative is go to communities, engage with conservatives, describe this free enterprise solution, and then hope to build support for elected officials so that they can feel comfortable leading. It is a these are building years, Coach. You know, that's what coaches say when they're not winning yet. And it's just going to take a while. I believe that particularly since the future is clearly with us on this, that we'll ultimately be successful. And especially once the pain of the Great Recession starts to wear off, conservatives will come back to themselves and realize that this tune that we're singing is a very recognizable tune. It's conservatism.
I'm going to guess that in addition to not especially liking the current approach towards dealing with climate change on the part of the federal government, that you and your organization are not big fans of subsidies for solar, wind, and that sort of thing.
Right. We think that all subsidies for all fuels should be eliminated. That means no more cylinders. It means no accelerated depreciation for oil and gas. It means no production tax credit for wind. Eliminate all those subsidies, but also eliminate the biggest subsidy, which is the lack of accountability for emissions, because that enables some competitors, particularly the incumbent fuels we've been talking about, to socialize their costs while privatizing their profits. And economists would tell us that that is a market distortion that keeps innovation from happening. And so our goal is to end those market distortions. And it's the marketplace is distorted by those direct subsidies to Solyndra, by production tax credit for wind, by the accelerated depreciation for oil and gas. But it's also vastly disrupted and distorted by the non-accountability for emissions.
Do you think that the government has any role at all in saying in certain circumstances something that private industry wants to do is just not acceptable? And I'm thinking here of a big controversy we have here in Michigan, which is over the practice known as fracking or hydraulic fracturing to extract natural gas.
Well, I think that we support fracking. We think it's it can be done in a safe way, and in fact, is being done in safe ways to the extent that there are problems with groundwater contamination. Probably has to do with leakage from the recovery pools and the fact that they aren't well regulated. And that's where I'm a Republican, not a libertarian. I believe that it's appropriate for the government to have a role there in saying, listen, we have these recovery pools blind, and that's a matter of state law at this point, and say, you know, we want to make sure that you're not letting that leach into groundwater. That's appropriate. In my estimation, there's some on the conservative side who are more libertarian who might think that rankles for them. But I would point out that it's the same thing as what we're talking about with these emissions. Is you got to be fully accountable for all that you do. If you let people get away with not being accountable for costs they're creating for other people, then you have, in economic terms, a distortion of the marketplace. But in moral terms, really biblical terms, you have something that really shouldn't be permitted, and that is people to do from their property something to harm someone else's property, and that should violate our sense of ethics and morality. You know, our hope is to show, especially to conservatives, that they have a very important role to play in this energy and climate debate. And what happens far too often is conservatives who seem to be fellow conservatives, we seem to be possessed of an inferiority complex. We think we're no good when it comes to energy and climate. But actually, we're very good. But our inferiority complex causes us to shrink in science denial rather than stepping forward and engaging. But if we could go forward and engage and show this free enterprise solution that really fixes economics, and then the environmental issues follow, it's just a natural course, then it's an issue that conservatives could really own and get very excited about, because it's bedrock conservatism to fix those market distortions, to have accountability, and then to watch the innovation that would happen in the free enterprise system for energy would really be very exciting in the years to come.
And we've been speaking with Bob Inglis, a former congressman from South Carolina, who's now the executive director of the Energy and Enterprise Institute. He'll be speaking at Western Michigan University on Tuesday, September 24th, beginning at 7 o'clock in Sangren Hall. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with Andy. Thank you.